Like, every
what
game.
The?
Is it that old guy?
It's something
me?
To do with the team. But no, he's in front.
Did you bet on ketchup, mustard, or relish?
That's the highlight.
My son was screaming for relish and he won.
Really?
You know what? I think relish has the highest percentage of winning
really?
Of any
I'm
continent.
A ketchup man.
That little guy. Did some wager.
Did you ever notice the three colors there are the same as the stoplight? Red, green, yellow?
No.
Oh, my God.
It's fascinating.
Somebody
your
called
night
you.
Is made up.
Wow, that is unbelievable.
You know, that means the photo radar van's going to be taking pictures
absolutely,
of that race
yeah.
now.
You know
hey, there's an 8-year-old routed third base. Get him.
You know what really sucks, though, is the taco versus the Diet Pepsi a burro. Please.
Well, that's what I was praying for at the game.
I hate that.
Is, you know, we had our runner on set. We're up 5-2.
Yeah.
We got our man on third. He wasn't the sixth run. He was the taco run. So we're all screaming for three tacos. Come on.
Did you get six? 5-2. Those tacos are terrible.
Okay, did you go to?
Oh, hey.
Hey, we got a show.
Yeah,
shoot.
You got a show.
Right, that's it. Hey, welcome to the show. Okay, guys.
Sorry.
We got our regular crowd here. Mark Cordes, Kerry Dozier, Steve Claussen in the house.
Yo, back and with you.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, we had to have you because...
the death
died.
Of General Motors.
We got two of his favorite things in life are now extinct.
That's right.
Jay Leno,
General Motors.
Motors.
The end of an era.
It yeah, is.
Thank God the
things
view is still around.
Things come in threes. What else do you like?
Oops.
Michigan football, but that ended last season, too. Yeah. Rich Rod, you better do it this year, buddy.
Did you hear The View got canceled?
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, that's out.
That's the third.
But I think Larry King's on right now.
Larry.
Oh.
I want to read his book.
You do?
Yeah. I like Larry.
He says he
really?
Only loved two of his wives.
He what?
He says he only really loved two of his
how
wives.
How many did he have?
Nine?
Eight, woo! Nine, something like that.
Well, why did he marry the other ones? Oh, knocked them up?
They were hot.
You know why he's
oh,
saying that?
Were they
hot? Because they all came out and said none of them loved him.
He took a Viagra. He had no other choice but to jump in the tub.
Don't you think one of those, at least one of those wives had to have that moment when they invented Viagra?
And
are you kidding me?
Shit. Yeah.
I thought this was not in there.
I thought
this was a lot.
He's been married to her for, what, 12 years now, and they got the two kids?
Oh, she must have just gone. Are you
she must be hypnotized.
You, can't, you couldn't cure cancer. You couldn't
she
cure...
She can give Larry King a perpetual Woody.
I know, come on.
And how about
this is what we get?
And how about the fact that he had a secret kid for all these years that nobody knew about?
He's got a secret kid?
Yeah.
Don.
Larry King Jr.?
Don King.
It finally happened.
Larry is great. I've always been a huge fan of Larry
oh
King.
Oh, my God.
He is horrible.
But he's you know wretched. What?
He is the worst interviewer in history.
But you know what? Everybody goes on his show.
And tell me why.
Because it's a global audience.
And
he always gets them to say things that they wouldn't say to other people.
That I like, don't agree with.
There's shut up, Larry.
Yeah. Like that. The first part is true. And the second part
God,
is it's all softballs. So he's not. There's no penetrating analysis. You can say whatever
using,
you want to.
Using that logic, McDonald's is the best food in the world.
Which I like
don't
McDonald's,
say
it's everywhere.
Talking about Larry.
No, the thing is with Larry, though, people admit things on a show or will say things that wouldn't happen on their normal show. Like when the first President Bush, when he took out his driver's license, or he got Dan Quayle to admit on the show that if his daughter wanted an abortion, although he was pro-life, he'd side with her and things like this.
I don't people have any
a,
of that.
People have a comfort level with. How about the Marlon Brando kiss?
How
you know
about
what it is?
You know? That's out of 10 million interviews. How about the Lionel and Nicole Richie last week?
Well, not all are winners.
He's so bad. Winners? This guy is so bad.
You know why people share with Larry so much? Because they look at him and they go, he's only around for another 5 minutes.
He's about to die.
They've been saying that forever.
Forget about the cameras.
How about the, you know,
he's
he has.
Give it up.
I think
bad.
It's the highest rated cable news program in history. The
was
Ross
competing with Wolf Blitzer?
No. The no. Ross Perot-Al Gore debate on NAFTA 15, 16 years ago, whenever that
well, right
was.
Right now his ratings are in the tank. So
he still gets a million people a night
he's
and a global there. Audience of like 4 million. But the
global,
thing is.
Have you ever been out of the country and seen what the competition is? Like, you know, the mating habits of ants in Africa.
But
I mean, there is nothing on television.
The movers and shakers all watch Larry King.
Okay, that gives you about 5,000 across the country. Then who?
Wow.
No, really, he's in the tank. Even that, like, Nancy Grace and obnoxious
oh,
people like that.
God.
Did you see her cut that guy's mic off a couple weeks ago?
I've never watched her.
No, it was a highlight. One
so
of those highlights
gross.
That you get. Yeah, I'm not a Nancy
How
Grace fan.
How can people watch her?
She was filling in for a few years for Larry,
Campbell
and that was
Brown
bad.
Campbell Brown was busy.
That was not
Campbell
good.
Campbell
Brown,
was on maternity
another bad
leave.
Show. They got so many bad shows
of,
on there.
A lot of people don't know it. Nancy Grace married to Mark Grace.
Is that true? Is that why they got
yeah,
divorced?
I heard that. I saw that.
That, didn't,
on a,
that I could have told him that wouldn't work.
That's an amazing grace, though.
Sorry. Yeah, I
you're
I
the comedian.
I'm not.
Call it.
Mark Grace, I think he does a great job on there. The old D-bag games.
He just gets a little goofy.
No, he's great. I'm a fan of his.
Of Mark Grace. And honest to God, the best old-school baseball guy living,
Great. But I got to say one thing about, I'll stick up for Darren Sutton also, but now that they've had a few games in Atlanta, and now this past weekend we had four games, if you watch any of that, I bet $1,000 on. Darren Sutton has a man crush on Chipper Jones.
Every time you turn around, that Chipper
Jones.
Chipper. Oh, God damn it. Is he one handsome?
Fantastic.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Like Chipper was saying before the game, you know, I like to get a fastball down the middle and just take that out. I mean, Chipper said that, and, you know. First ballot Hall of Famer.
I was wondering what was up with that. Every time you turn, Chipper wouldn't be up to bat. You know what Chipper said the other day? I don't give a shit what Chipper Jones said the other day.
Oh, enough with the Chipper.
Did you hear when Mark called him Larry?
Yeah, that's his real name.
As you know, I don't think Larry's and Darren cut in and said, don't call him that.
He doesn't like it.
He doesn't like
what.
Yes.
A lot of people
don't like it.
Why you do it.
Wherever he goes, there's one stadium
people
where he goes
chant
to
Larry.
And he goes, he doesn't like that.
He said that this morning.
That?
He said that this morning over coffee.
Yeah, I know. It's
in our hotel room. Oh!
And then he promoed for like five games. I think we're going to get a talk to Chipper Jones before the game. It's going to be great.
Well, when I was waiting outside the Ritz for him the other day,
with the sign
said, "We love you, Chipper."
Jeez.
Now, is his dad, is Don Sutton still with the Braves?
Yes,
some
he is.
Capacity.
Yeah,
he called their games?
Yes, he does radio. And they had a picture of him in the paper, and he looked like Sideshow Bob. I mean, he's still crazy hair. Yeah.
Didn't
and
he have
he's
a
like
health
a,
problem
he's 60
recently?
Or something.
I think he did.
Yeah, he had rotator cuff. He's still pitching. He's really got to stop.
I know. D-backs were going to, hey.
Hey, what's that?
We don't like it.
Wow, dial-up internet. this is 2009.
We were receiving a fax.
That was payback from Larry.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We're getting a fax.
Larry.
What was that?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Chipper Jones, line four.
We're
all alone here. We can say whatever we want to now.
Okay, we haven't discussed the weekend here and what everybody did, so who wants to start? Oh, okay, I'll start. I had a great Saturday.
Actually,
the whole thing was good, but Saturday's great. Tennis in the morning, great. Little Max in the afternoon. By the way, I did go, and so then I went to the Diamondback game. I finally asked. I've only been going to almost every game for 10 years, however long they've been here, right? More than that. You can take food in this year. Remember I asked him and he was a little little iffy on that? Because food sucks there, despite what Daryl Hall said on our show.
Derek.
How great is, or Derek, whatever his name is, Daryl.
And his partner, John Oates.
John Oates was also on the show.
He's had a rough go on our show, hasn't he? Now we can't even get
poor
his name
Derek.
Right. Derek. How is Tony Clark doing? Has there been a sighting of him?
Wow.
He doesn't even friggin' play now. Remember, I predicted he would not hit two more the rest of the season after he hit two in the first game.
And
now I'm on it. Boy, you can't hit if you're not up.
You can't hit if you don't play.
Anyway, so I went by America's Tacos. Load up a little Sports Authority bag that I got for free when they opened. And, you just walk right in.
Tacos.
America's Tacos on 7th Street. I recommend that.
Really?
Great.
7th Street and?
7th Street between McDowell and Thomas.
Huh.
And really, really good. Very
America's
unique. They're known for their carne asada stuff.
Who
better
knew?
Than Waitos?
No. No. Well, not in my mind, although, some
they're a little out of the area code, though.
Yeah, especially it's a little closer. That's the thing.
Well, when I went to the game, thanks to you, I went up and had a little snack at the Fatburger.
Oh, that's good.
That's
now that is
$23.50.
Yeah, that's
something.
A problem.
It's like, what are you kidding me?
You got to get a Hungry Hill sandwich. Those are good.
People like that, but that's like heartburn
good.
Special.
Well, yeah, if you suffer from heartburn, maybe not.
That well, if you don't,
they have
you
the
will.
Beef and they have meatball sandwiches.
Oh, yeah? Where
and
was
everything.
That?
Hungry Hill. It's right by.
It's
our
in
section.
It's right behind like third base.
Oh, wow.
It's steep there. So bringing the food in wasn't a bad idea. Okay, so go to the game, and we won. So that was good. One in the 11th. That was nice. And then went to a little graduation party because my son graduated from high school this week, my middle son.
He made it.
Yes. And then went to see Lucinda Williams, one of my all-time heroes at the Mesa Arts Center. And by the way, for all the joking about Mesa.
Beautiful.
Great. That is a beautiful venue. In fact, you'd be hard pressed to top that venue. I mean, and she went on and on about the sound. Yeah, they had drinks, and I didn't because we had to go to a little party, so we got there just in time for her. So great. Anyone who's not familiar with Lucinda Williams, please, if you like great songwriters, she's the best. So that was very, very fun. That was a good day, huh?
That's a great
day. That is a good day.
Did you see Barrett Marson there at Lucinda Williams?
He sat next to me. He got my tickets for me.
The new Department of Corrections spokesman.
He is I asked him. Nice job. He just became the PR guy or whatever for the
prisons.
For the prisons, and the woman just got, as he put it, baked.
Yeah.
I said, well, I probably wouldn't use that word.
And then a couple of weeks before, just as he had started, they had the two guys from Tucson attempt the escape from the prison.
So he's had
a busy couple of weeks as the new PIO.
That was not good. That's
good practice, though.
Baked situation.
Barrett can handle it, though.
Yeah. No, so, yeah, he was
crisis
there.
Management.
And, you know, he showed up when the tickets went on sale. So got his tickets. We're in the second row. It's beautiful. So all good.
Awesome.
Now, Cole Woods, I'm wondering if anyone would like to trade places with him. Because here's the rest of, this is what he's got ahead, right? Do nothing for about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Goof off, okay?
Mark's like, yep.
So far, so good.
Then he and his buddy are going to barnstorm Europe for about 3 weeks, hitting hostels and, you know, going all over the place. And then they meet up with us in Italy. Spend a couple weeks in Cortona, mooching there. And then he comes back and goes to school in Santa Barbara.
Wow.
What do you
and all on Dad's dime?
Pretty much. Well, no, he saved his money for the Europe thing. But
and where did he get that money?
From Dad? No, he worked. He worked.
Okay.
He's
enrolled at UC Santa Barbara?
Yes. Well, he's going to go to – he's going to go take a – you go part-time there, part-time Santa Barbara City College. They have kind of a joint thing, and that way you can avoid the – non-residency thing, which is but anyway, that doesn't sound too rough, does
he's
it?
He's got a tough man.
Oh my God!
And he's an unattractive kid.
Would you try? I would do that. Would you go back right now if you could go back to college? That's what you had awaiting you. Would you go back?
I'd be like Rodney Dangerfield and back to school. Do the triple Lindy.
Yeah.
The triple.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'd go back.
Yeah.
If I would have hit the Powerball last couple weeks ago for $220 million, I would have just gone back to college.
Really?
I'd have bought the baddest ass house.
Yeah, car.
Get a big vet.
Yeah. And just study chicks. Like something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I would just I'd study like how to handle my own trust fund.
And the Powerball was a great story considering where the ticket was bought.
Montana.
Oh. No, South Dakota.
Oh, Winner or something?
Winner, South Dakota. Oh. How ironic is that?
Wow.
Coincidental, actually.
Yes.
Right.
I played the lottery this morning for the first time. You know?
Yeah, you don't usually play the lottery.
I don't. I had many beefs with the lottery. I was opposed to the lottery. And the lottery director.
Gambling.
Yeah, yeah. You'll like this, Mark. They, I got in office, and, you know, I was like, you know, I just turned 36 or whatever. And so they thought I was, you know, who is this kid? What a jerk. And did my best to prove that true.
Prove that right.
So they had this old crotchety guy that Symington put in his head in the lottery. And I let them know that they needed to take down some of their billboards. They had these billboards up that said, need a car? Play the lottery.
Yeah.
It's just that easy.
Yeah. And then they were primarily in Spanish in poor neighborhoods.
Oh.
So I called him up and said, hey, you need to take those down. Well, why would I do that? Well, I'm going to figure out a reason, but those are offensive.
Well, I'll find some legal reason for you.
Right.
Give me a minute.
And he was said, his name is Bill Henry, old, you know, World War something vet and crotchety and thought I was an ass. And he says, well, what are you going to do about it? I said, well, I'm going to sue you.
Wait, goes, you're my lawyer.
Yeah, that's what he said. He says, you can't sue me. I'm your lawyer. I said, well, we'll see about that. And so anyway, it was a big flap, and he took him down. And then I started giving, you know, little interviews about the lottery because I hate the lottery. And the line he didn't like was, if you buy a ticket for the lottery and I buy a ticket for the lottery, we have just about exactly the same odds of winning. Yeah, that's not good. So,
well, didn't you often?
He said, "Stop saying that. You're killing us.
That's funny.
You're out there killing us." And in Arizona, you have like a 15-16 times chance, better chance, of getting hit by lightning than winning the lottery. So, I mean, do you really think you have a chance to get hit by lightning?
You said if you both bought a ticket. You meant if you bought a ticket and you didn't buy a ticket, you had the same
chance.
Oh, so
that's what I meant, yeah. If you buy a ticket and I don't buy a ticket, we have the same odds. That's what I meant, yeah.
He didn't like that.
My luck is I would buy the winning ticket and get struck by lightning.
You'd be on that Air France
flight. I won!
Like, yeah. That's a bizarre story. But didn't your office also get involved with the lottery on the scratchers when they were like selling them and the top prize was sold out and they were still saying you got a chance to win 50,000
or whatever? They had to stop doing that too. Yeah. That's a scam because they would say top prize of, you know, whatever, $50,000 and they're scratchers. So let's say the first week, that's a 6-month game, and in the first week someone wins. Well, they would keep advertising that. Win 50, well, you're not going to win 50,000. So it was like, hey, why don't you stop advertising that because now you know. Well, we've paid for that, whatever. Whatever you're saying, stop it. Anyway, we didn't get along. Anyway, I did play today, though. Why I don't know. Because I had a dollar there at Circle K.
Would you buy a Powerball or something?
No, some scratcher thing, and I won $2.
Whoa.
Wow. How about that?
Hey, be coming back.
Doubled your money. I
bought two more. Won $2 again. Bought two more. Won $1. I said, this is a pain in the ass. You know, I'd rather lose. Trying to get some gas. I was there like 10 minutes. Scratching these goddamn things.
Hey, on a weird thing, speaking of Mesa, this is kind of...
wait a minute. What do you mean weird?
Well,
what a weird thing, speaking of Mesa.
We're talking about convenience
stores,
Mesa, and that, you mentioned Mesa, and then that poor girl that died when she was baked.
In the prison.
Yes.
So Friday night, I had my little gig in Mesa.
God, I want to hear about it. Let's hear about it.
By the way, your response to the three questions got a big laugh.
What was it?
I asked the three questions of how would you describe Deb Duval, and you said the three words, and then I think one of them was sexy, and then the other one was what would be the next chapter in her life, and you put chapter 8, and I said, hey, it could be worse coming from an attorney. You could have said chapter 11, so I got a laugh with that. And then your last line was, if there was a movie about her life, who would play the lead, and you said Ryan Seacrest.
Oops.
And then he said, why not?
So why not?
That's the one where you interviewed the aunt. She said, nobody's going to make a movie about her life, which I just love.
It was a great life.
How was Mike Hughes was there.
Yes.
Matter of fact, it was...
Because it was in Mesa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and school board matters, and he was there at the head table with me, and they had me...
This is for Deb Duval, who is a retiring superintendent of schools, superintendent.
Right. And now, do you know Jim DeGracie?
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess he was before her.
Don't do that.
He's another
No, Jim Zaharis.
Okay, oh yeah, well, DeGracie was another big shot. But
Jim Zaharis was...
He's bald, too. So it was me, Hughes, and DeGracie in a row. It was like the balding tic-tac-toe. But anyway, after I'll go back to the thing, but afterwards I went to a 7-Eleven just north of the Mesa Hilton, right there on, what is that, Alma School?
The
one there by the mall?
Oh, the fabulous Mesa Hilton.
Okay, so just north of there, there was like a 7-Eleven, and I popped in there to get a beverage for the drive home.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that's kind of a borderline scary neighborhood.
Yeah, it's getting there.
I didn't know that, but here's how I figured it out. On the little counter there, at point of purchase, little impulse buy, they had a little tabloid, about probably 8 pages, and it's called Slammed.
People who are arrested.
Have you seen that?
It's the same thing we just bought. That magazine? I love that magazine.
A dollar.
They got that on the website, too.
Yeah.
Oh, we bought it.
He bought it on the way out to the Jimmy Buffett show, and we made fun of all the arrested people while we were drunk.
We had like 10 margaritas, and so we couldn't get from Central Phoenix to Jimmy Buffett without stopping for more, and I picked up one of those. Isn't that a gross thing?
The girl that died was on the cover.
Why is that besides us? Oh, why?
I said, what the hell? I started looking around. I was like, I go, how many of these do you sell? He goes... About every other person, and the guy behind me was getting a 12-pack of beer. Goes, I'll take one. And, every other person.
That's great.
I bought one.
I'm off the hook. I don't have to buy.
Only in America, man.
It is the most amazing thing.
Oh, have you ever seen in the Arizona Republic? Like every now and then, they'll put someone who's a fugitive or something, and it's always some meth, snaggletooth jack off, you know, on there. And you look at it and you go, ugh, you know, gross. And same thing if you see the Death Row book.
Right. Oh.
You know, if you don't believe in the death penalty, read the Death Row book.
Oh, God.
See those losers.
Little narratives.
What they did.
Then he killed 3 people. Yes, then he broke into a home and killed the mother and the father and 3 babies. And
But you look at those pictures, it's scary.
Well, I said, I was laughing. I was like, I can't believe you guys sell this. He goes, hey, you don't understand. In this neighborhood, people know about half these people. So I grabbed my big gulp and got in the car.
Got the hell out of it.
But it was, so you've seen that.
Yeah.
Slammed.
Boys and Girls Club is not that far from there. That's where I grew up. So,
well, I'm sure it's changed.
For knocking my neighborhood.
No, I'm sure it's changed a little. Once you left, the
no,
place went
that
to
area,
hell.
That area is. I don't know. Mesa's changed a lot.
I mean, I didn't know that to be the case.
Well, where I went to high school used to be kind of the, because we moved. We moved from, we were like the Jeffersons, moving on up. We moved from the south side to the north side. And so that was a real nice area. And not so much anymore. They kind of, everybody moved. Then they all moved east, you know, when the Orange Groves became big housing projects and all that sort of stuff, or housing developments.
So that's what you did on Friday. What did you do for the rest of the weekend, Mark? Was that the high point?
Any other gigs, or did you go to White Mountains?
No, I was going to go up there, and then I had had stuff I had to do, and I screwed my knee up.
What?
I took my son and my stepson to the game, which, by the way, thanks again for the tickets. Awesome. And then afterwards, I took them back home, because I was the designated driver. They'd been pounding some beers at the game.
Great.
And then I decided.
Didn't they just, where are they going to high school next year?
Yeah. No, 2 years from now, they'll be in high school. And so then they, we get out of the car, and there's a basketball hoop there, so we start screwing around. Uh-huh. And then I bet him $50 I could dunk.
Oh, come on.
That's what you want to do at 11 o'clock at night. I'm tired, and I came down.
There's no way you could dunk. Was it an 8-foot rim?
I thought I could.
You thought you could? It was, you had to have been drinking.
It was that Papa Shot thing.
No. Yeah, you could dunk on those.
And I landed on my left leg, which should be the one I hurt. No, I kind of, remember when Milton Bradley, a couple years ago, when his Bud Black tried to pick him up and pull him away from that confrontation with the umpire?
Yeah.
And you saw that look on his face as his ACL went out? That's kind of the look I had when I landed. Mm-hmm. So now my right knee is all
screwed. Come on, dude. You can't dunk.
I know. I'm getting old.
No.
Steve, watch The View all weekend.
No. What else did you do?
Actually, it was a pretty quiet weekend. Didn't do a whole lot of anything. Watched Red Wings win two games.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few people actually watching the Stanley
Cup. Did you watch the French Open?
No, but I know about the big upset there. Nadal lost. That was like a huge one.
Well, he'd never lost a match at the French Open, much less. I mean, he was like 31-0 or something. It's pretty, and he got beat by a guy who's not that great. It was surprising.
I'm glad I didn't pick that one in my ESPN streak for cash.
Oh,
I hit both Red Wings games, so I'm up to 7 tonight. It depends on, you know, what my next. It's a fun thing to do.
How many do you have to get for $1 million?
It depends. The top 7 are going to go to Bristol, Connecticut at the end of the year, and everybody.
If he goes, I'll die.
I know that would be so
the
great.
Everybody gets $10,000, and then the 7 people will compete with a chance to win for $1 million.
What do? You pick any game.
They give you a slate of games or a slate of propositions. Actually, it's like, will Carmelo Anthony have more points than this guy? Will have rebounds and assists.
And you just got to pick one.
Every
day.
No, you don't even have to pick every day. You can pick when you want.
Choose whenever you want.
Yeah, and the way this contest goes, it started in like April and it goes through December. The leader right now, I think, has like 23.
That's not good. You got 7?
Well, it's early, Grant.
So, what are you?
I had 7.
Management of the Diamondbacks?
No, I had a good roll going on NFL draft day.
Yeah, it's possible.
I had 7 straight picks on NFL draft day because, you know, I'm a football guru, and then the Denver Broncos screwed me up with no Sean Marino.
Rough.
No, because the question was, would they go with an offensive or defensive player?
Okay.
Well, if you watched the Broncos last year.
We don't care. Okay anyway.
sorry.
On MLB, you have to, if you want to do that streak, you have to do it every day, and you just pick one player. Who's anybody in Major mm-hmm. League Baseball, and they have to get a hit that day. But that's easier than you. I mean, harder than it sounds.
Yeah.
Well, the really sports hard. Thing.
But you can match up. You know, this guy goes against this pitcher. They give you all the stats.
How do you guarantee that he plays?
You know, if he doesn't play, you're out.
Oh.
You go, okay, mm-hmm. Who's probably going to face John Roush tonight? I'm going to put him. So I'm putting down.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, your cousin on Web
Josh
Gems.
Josh Wilson last night.
Did you see that shot?
Awesome.
Oh, what a great play.
I know it. I just hope he makes it. He went to the Padres and he hadn't played very much. And then last night he was a double play. I mean, all by himself. He was unbelievable.
It was ridiculous.
He's cat-like on defense. He's
cat-like.
He's like,
wow.
He's like this big.
Yeah.
He's not a big dude.
Yeah.
So it's hard for him to get hits. And he's like, they don't
is
care
what you
do. Is he
bigger than, taller than Augie?
I don't know. I've never stood next to Augie.
He's taller than David Eckstein.
He's taller than David Eckstein. And bigger. But that's not saying much.
Come on now. The highlight on TV last night was the MTV Music Awards and what happened with Bruno.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That has to be set up.
Was it staged or not?
Yes.
I mean, Eminem looked...
All that shit is staged. And Eminem can't act like it's surprised.
Eminem needs the publicity right now.
It was brilliant by Sasha Baron Cohen, though. Yeah. Because,
oh, my God.
Everybody's talking about it. And the movie's coming out, so it should be great.
I know somebody who's seen the movie. Neil Giuliano has seen it. And they screened it as part of GLAAD over there. And he said the gay community is going to love it and hate it at the same time. But he said the movie's funny.
Yeah, I love the guy.
God, I can't wait.
So,
was Borat the funniest movie of 2 years ago?
Borat is, well, I would say this. Borat, I've never laughed harder at a movie than Borat. By the way, you know who's a huge Borat fan?
John McCain.
John McCain, yeah, I told you that. He's
he'd probably tell some of those jokes at the RNC.
But first, GG. No, but I remember when Borat came out a few years ago, and so I was talking with him, and I honestly had no idea he knew any of this stuff. And he says, he says,
so cute.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
It's called Kohan.
it's a
new brand.
I'm just shocked.
He started talking about Ali G. I said, wait a minute, you know who Ali G is? And he goes, oh, yeah. And he started singing a couple of Ali G, bits and telling bits to different people that he talked to. I said, wow.
See, he should have brought that side of him out on the campaign.
He should have.
Yeah, they're quiet.
That was no bullshit. He knew Ali G, and he certainly knew Borat, and I didn't ask him about Bruno. But
he's also conflicted, too, because he's also admitted to seeing at least twice Mamma Mia.
He claims...
I don't know if that was Cindy or him, but
no,
he enjoyed it. Apparently.
Well, I'll tell you what. I remember, I just flashed on that. When I was on the bus with him in New Hampshire, I asked Cindy, I was back there with him, and John was talking to somebody, and I said, hey, what? Because she had her iPhone or some damn thing. I said, what is with this Mamma Mia stuff? Like, that he loves ABBA. That's his favorite deal. She goes, I'm not kidding. He really likes ABBA. Because I thought that was a bit. Like, you got to say something to get the female vote or something, you say you like ABBA. And she goes, no, he really likes ABBA. I don't know why. Now, in the old days, when I was with him, it was, believe me, ABBA and Mamma Mia are super hip compared to the shit he was sticking me with. Because he would be like, hey, let's watch. Oh, his favorite movie, Gigi. I'm like, Gigi? I mean, I'm a movie guy, right? I go, Gigi. Every little breeze seems to whisper
the
Louise. Yeah. Loved it.
Wow.
Okay. And the other one was, what the hell was? Oh, Viva Zapata, Marlon Brando. And I said, well, that one I haven't seen. And it sounds horrible. Marlon Brando is a Mexican. Not good. And he said, no, come on, that's bullshit. Okay, boy, get it. Friday night, boy, we're coming. You're going to watch Viva Zapata. Horrible. I watched it. And it was and you can't say it because, you work for him and you're like, yeah, this is great.
Wow.
So he would go around and he would say, my two favorite movies are Gigi and Viva Zapata. I go, dude, I know you were out of commission during like a lot of movies. But we got to perk up the actor a little bit.
See, that's why when he was in the Hanoi Hilton, they played Gigi every night. That's what finally
broke
him down.
Yeah, from the old French days.
Actually,
they still had a copy.
Withheld Gigi. That's why it seems really special.
Oh, God.
We're not going to let you watch
But you know what? Why he's gotten more hip is just all his kids, because he started going to the movie with his kids, and so he saw a lot more.
So Borat. So he gets credit for that.
I give him major credit for that. That was amazing to me. I couldn't believe that he was serious about it.
And that's how the Republic's got the cover story on him yesterday, getting ready to run for 2010 here in Arizona, for re-election.
I know. Whatever. It's getting tiresome, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times?
I don't know.
This will be the same as Barry Goldwater, right? His
obviously, I'm all for it, but I mean, we got to really, nose to the grindstone. We got to pull this one out. He isn't even an opponent. Right?
You mean Chris Simcox isn't scaring you right now?
Oh, yeah, well, I guess him. He's a goof.
I don't know who the Democrats could even put up.
They're not going to. Yeah. No one in their right mind.
It's
going to
be a token guy.
Now, Mark probably doesn't remember this, but this is the dumbass move I made. In 1994, when I was running for re-election, the guy running against me, the only one running, was a libertarian. So this is the way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to say, ooh, what an opportunity. I'm going to be in for another 4 years, and so this is when you raise money. Everybody has to give you money because they're going to have to deal with you. Whether they like you or not, they're going to deal with you for 4 years. And so you can raise a ton of money. And you can put on television ads and other ads and just, oh, what a great guy, and look, he did this, and isn't he cool, and isn't he great, and you know, stood up for old ladies and women and children and all that. Okay, that's what you do. Makes sense, right? This is my great idea. Let's do nothing. Let's raise no money, because I don't want to go to anyone and say, can you give me money? As I was just saying, like the McCain thing, I didn't want to do that because it's obvious I was going to win. If I can't beat this guy, then honestly, I shouldn't be AG. I mean, nothing against him. I don't remember his friggin' name. You remember his name?
Was that Warren Severin? I think he's been a perennial libertarian. I'm not even sure.
Warren Summerlin? I think we executed him.
You ran against Georgia State in the first time.
Yes.
In 90. I remember that, but I don't...
I don't remember the guy's name. But anyway, he was a lawyer, obviously, and I guess he was okay. But anyway, he outspent me. So we didn't raise any money. He had posters up and little brochures and stuff, and they're like, come on, this guy's, you know, he's handing out brochures, you got it? No. Anyone who raises or spends a dollar is fired. Okay, so we did nothing, and that was my great idea. Well, dumb in retrospect, probably, but
sorry, I don't know. You didn't waste any time.
I didn't.
What percentage of the vote did you get?
80.
See, you're very efficient with your...
Here's my thought on the...
But you know what the thing about that is, honestly, and I'm, you know, if you guys remember Herb Drinkwater, he was just one of the greatest guys, the mayor of Scottsdale, and he would win by those margins, and it would really piss him off, because he'd think 80-20. That means 4 out of 5 people voted for him. Wait a minute. 1 out of 5 people...
Didn't vote for him.
Yeah, they walked in there and went, there's Woods, and there's a complete goof. I'll go for the goof. And if you start thinking about that, it was like a couple 100,000 people. That's a lot of people.
Were you a fan of Herb's?
Great. Yeah, I love him.
His
really a good guy.
Oh, just... What is... He went way too soon.
Yep.
And his son... Do you know his son?
I don't. I think I met him or something.
We used to live together.
Oh, really? In California or Vermont?
No, here. Were you open about it? Or?
Cuddling kind of way.
Jeez.
No. Four of us guys.
Okay?
This is brought to you by our sponsor.
For all you do.
Anheuser-Busch.
For you.
Four guys live together. Okay. I should have prefaced it that way.
Just, I quit drinking, didn't I tell you?
Did you?
Yeah, just
not
now.
Not Anheuser-Busch.
Just now.
Hensley & Company, our sponsors. Please support them. If you're thirsty.
Which, unfortunately, I always am.
Okay. Yes.
You know, people always talk about your drinking, but they never talk about your thirst.
Yeah.
You're just really thirsty.
So you and Mark were living together.
Yeah, with two other guys. And he was an all-time best roommate because he had the drive-through liquor store at Scottsdale Red and Shea with an open account. And we would just drive through and
drink water.
And she would say, hey, and load us up with whatever we want.
No kidding. Oh, that is great.
So now here's a classic. So one day, we used to have them. We called our place the Pleasure Dome. Very sick.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
If there was DNA evidence back then, we'd all be doing time.
Where'd you guys live?
64th and Cactus-ish. So
out here.
One day, Mark, Herb, and Jackie are driving to church, and they're going down Scottsdale Road, and there's a keg laying against the side of the road. And they, as they go by real slow, and Herb drove a Scottsdale, you know, the big SUV called a Scottsdale. He used to say, hey, when are you going to be performing? I said, I'm at the Tempe Improv this week. I'm not taking any money to Tempe.
I know. He was
and
hardcore.
He meant that.
Yeah, he was.
He goes, if you're performing at Seekers in Scottsdale, I'll
Seekers.
Come. So anyway, they drive by this keg, and they see it's got drink water liquors on it. Mm. Oh, he's pissed. So he pulls off the road, grabs it, throws it in the back of the Scottsdale, goes to church. Later on, he goes into the liquor store, does a cross-reference to see
yours.
Who checked that out. Us. It was our keg from our party. And
wow.
he called Mark up.
God
damn it, Mark. If I didn't have you, I could be the governor of this city, of this state.
But then he would have to leave Scottsdale.
He was really a great guy.
Just
you know, well, and you know, people always ask me, you know, why I ran for office and everything. Look at the people I was around. I mean, it was the Drinkwaters and in Mesa, guys like Don Strau, who was the mayor. And so you had Harry Mitchell was the mayor of Tempe. You had mayors like that. And then my congressman was John Rhodes, and the other congressman was Mo Udall, and the senator was Barry Goldwater. I mean, think, wow.
Good company.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good deal. Or, you know, you could have J.D. Hayworth and...
Trent Franks is there.
And all these other... not good. Yeah. Is that guy still in the air, Hayworth?
Yeah, J.D. is. And the big question is, will he challenge McCain for the Senate?
Never. He is...
he knows better than
that. He's got no balls. He's just a big foghorn, leghorn squawker.
I used to be a congressman.
Used to be a sportscaster.
Does he ever mention that he was a congressman?
I don't think he ever has.
I don't think
anybody knows. I don't listen to him, so I don't know.
No, I can't. I should, because I keep forgetting to, though.
Did you hear today? I just heard something today about what's the big flap over Terry Goddard kind of in a roundabout way announcing that he's going to run for governor.
Oh, I didn't know, did he?
Now everybody's all in a tizzy.
That he has to resign.
You got to resign to run.
I think, and I didn't read the story. I know it's on the Espresso Pundit.
Patterson's deal.
Yeah. I think he said something in some group to the West Valley, I intend to run for governor or something. So did he cross the line there or not? The resign to run law is stupid because everybody knows who's running for, you know.
You know, every AG, it's ironic that an AG would be the one doing that, but every AG faces that. You can explore running, but you can't actually take the real steps. But, you know, what is a real step toward running and what is exploring? You know, you're not going to get very far on that one if you go after somebody for that. So unless they're really blatant about it, don't worry about it. People who have the problem with the resign to run are people who are in the middle of like a 4-year term.
Right.
But for someone like him, he's going to be looking at, he'll be in his last year in January, and then he can run. But he's going to have a primary. He's going to have Jim Peterson, it looks like, is going to run for governor on that side. And Neil Giuliano is actually talking about running as a Democrat. That would be a 3-way race there. And the Republicans don't know what they're doing because Governor Brewer, who has now announced her tax plan, and that's very unpopular in the Republican Party, she may be challenged, or she could decide not to run herself.
Don't you think she does that rather than be challenged?
Drops out?
Yep.
She might, and then you would have a real food fight in the Republican race. And the scenario there is one much talked about, where you could have a possibility then that lesser candidates could win their primary, opening the door for an independent to come in at the last minute and win.
Because you can
run. Well, you know, who knows? But you could...
you just left the door open.
The way
there.
Bill Shultz ran last time was you see who wins, and then you've got about 10 days to get your signatures, and then you're in.
Yeah, but as an independent, you can do that.
You can do it. So that's kind of an interesting scenario. It's possible now. I don't think either side knows what they're doing right now, which is shocking. Now, before we leave pop culture, what about Susan Boyle coming in second
and losing her
to
marbles,
a dance
apparently.
Troupe? Though
she
What's
lost
a dance troupe.
She had a meltdown and that cost her. You know, it's like. But on the other hand, you know,
she just got too pretty.
In some ways, though, Britain's Got Talent was the same as American Idol. Everybody thought the runner-up was going to win.
Yeah, true. Well, how do you compete against a dance troupe anyway? That's not good. That's weird.
Apples to oranges.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I'm a little bit worried about Susan, though. I mean, seriously. I mean, when you saw that meltdown she had, or read about the meltdown at the hotel, and I saw the interview with the judges afterwards, and it was really kind of uncomfortable. And I think a lot of this may have happened too fast for her. She wasn't prepared for it. Whereas, you know, like Chris and Alan, or Chris and Adam on American...
Oh, sure.
They've been doing that for almost a year, and they seem to have it.
Plus, they performed
anyway.
They
had a little bit more going for them at the beginning.
She was really out of obscurity.
And, you know, they both had this idea, I want to be a star, and all this
stuff. Well, hopefully she'll...
But, yeah, I hope she's all right.
She obviously hasn't dealt with success on any real level so far in her life, so this has been a bit of a shock.
It's going to be tough.
And people think the American media is bad. Oh, the British tabloids are nothing.
Brutal.
I mean, they are so much worse.
Yeah, they are. Well, she's got a beautiful voice,
and
she seems to be a very nice person, so hopefully it'll work out for her. I thought she was great. Now, by the way, Valley Youth Theater, Seth, can you take the mic and just tell us or something? And
grab the mic.
Seth Salka from Valley Youth Theater.
Seth should get some FaceTime. Whatever.
FaceTime here, because we're taping on Monday, and on Sunday night, speaking of American Idol and local connections, Valley Youth Theater had... Man, a tremendous performance. You know, everybody's hurting out there in the nonprofit world. So a lot of the alumni came back, including Jordan Sparks and Emma Stone and what's the kid's name? The guy?
Max Crum.
Max Crum, who won the Grease competition and has been on there. And then one other gal who...
Chelsea Staub, who's in the new Jonas series on Disney.
Now, Did I read this right? That all four of them were in The Wiz
together,
and none of them were the leads.
None of them were leads. They had very small ensemble parts.
That is insane. When was that?
2004.
So oh my God! It's only 2009.
5 years ago, if you went to see The Wiz at Valley Youth Theater, four people from that little play there, that musical, being staged there, were going to be big stars.
Wow!
And none of them were the leads in the. In the play.
And they all hit it in kind of the same 12-month period. I mean, Jordan's American Idol competition was simultaneous with Max on You're the One That I Want.
Right, right.
And Emma Stone had just won, actually before that, the Partridge Family search for the Susan Day character.
Oh, my God.
That she won. Mm-hmm. And then she got cast in Superbad, was her first movie.
She was
Seth Rogen's girlfriend interest there. He brought to the beer to the party, and and then Chelsea Staub, you know, she was kind of took the Disney path. She did a couple movies for them, and now is in the Jonas series, which is a good land. So
I guess we need to talk casting with Valley Youth Theater. They're just not casting the right people.
Yeah, exactly.
They're
what missing are those
the
other
talent.
People? What
yeah,
if the Dorothy, the lion?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
Did they all do nothing?
They're stagehands. it was a great night, and. You know, I think for them to all come back, and really any of them, I mean, the talent on the stage was really tremendous. And they sang a sampling of songs from Broadway shows. So they did stuff from Titanic. They did stuff from Into the Woods. They did stuff from Little Shop of Horrors. It was just a collection of really, really powerful stuff. And Symphony Hall is a great venue.
Yeah, how is the new Symphony Hall?
It's beautiful. It's really it's a great venue. 2,000 seats, obviously great, great acoustics. Mm-hmm. It was a good night. And I think more than anything, the fact that they just kind of came back and wanted to help out.
That's very nice.
That
says a lot for Valley Youth Theater.
It sure does.
So people want to help Valley Youth Theater out. What do they do now? Just write a check?
Yeah, just get online. But there's a lot of ways, too. We have education classes. You know, if there was really one thing even more than the shows that benefited from kind of this run were the classes. Mm-hmm. And I think people saw that there was a place that they could take their kids in the Valley and start to get that training. I mean, certainly these kids have talent, and it all came together at once, but it's a little too much coincidence to say that there's not some training and some something going on that they're getting some inspiration.
And that's pretty much downtown Phoenix.
Downtown Phoenix, right at 2nd and Fillmore is our theater.
And you got stuff going on all summer?
Yeah, two sessions of summer camps, June and July, and then actually auditions on Monday for the start of our next season, Peter Pan. Out of the gate in September.
Peter Pan.
And full...
Tiger Lily. I'm going to try out for Tiger Lily.
Tiger Lily. And we fly from the stage. That show's at the Herberger, so we get the big stage.
Oh, and wow, really?
It's the Broadway traveling set that flies.
Peter Pan flies. Does Peter Pan have to be a female? What's the deal with that?
Kathy Rigby kind of made it...
No, but they started with Mary Martin in the old days, and... She looked kind of boyish, but Mary Martin was a huge star. So the fact they got Mary Martin to be Peter Pan was like, okay, let's do it. But then ever since then, it's all women, and that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, well, I'm not that versed in theater to tell you why they went that way. The pitch of their voice at that age is kind of...
No, but these were adults playing Peter Pan, and they still cast women in there. I didn't get it yet. I forgot. Dylan was in Peter Pan, and he... He played, I forgot, one of Captain Hook's buddies, some pirate. It's a pretty cool play, Peter Pan.
It's a really good show. And
good songs, too.
Starts our season, really catchy songs. And I mean, the Kathy Rigby tour was record-breaking. I mean, it toured for like 7 years.
So if kids and or parents are listening and they want to roll down there, Monday's the audition?
Yeah,
for
Monday,
that?
June 8th and 9th, we're auditioning actually for both shows. You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and Peter Pan, same time.
Wow, okay, so good. Sweet. I did see the Tesseract performance of Seussical. I'd never seen Seussical. And I will say, let me make this very clear, they did a great job. They were, I mean, really phenomenal for a, I guess, school play. I mean, they were really fantastic.
Small school, too.
Oh, I mean, remarkable. I mean, they had like, I don't know, 60 kids in it. God, I would hate to do that. I mean, God bless those people that taking care of those kids. Having said that, have you ever seen Seussical?
Uh-uh.
Weak. Jesus Christ. If I would have gone to Broadway and seen that, I would have demanded a refund. That was so... I mean, come on. Are you kidding me, Kat?
Oh, it was a Wickersham brother.
Dylan was a Wickersham brother.
Dylan was a Wickersham.
Yes, he was, and he was outstanding.
They were bad guys, though, weren't they?
Yeah,
they were. Wickersham uncles and Wickersham cousins.
Yeah, they were. I don't know the whole thing. It's all it kind of revolves around Horton and
all
of his issues.
Did you do it with a fox?
Here we go. Okay, let's move on. should we do the Woody here?
Sure.
Let's just get that done because I want to have people discuss this issue. It's an interesting issue. Please hold the Woody, Carrie.
Why doesn't anyone else ever get to hold it?
Well,
Woody and you go together.
You take such joy in it.
Yes, that's right.
He smiles.
Okay, we ready? Okay, yes. Drum roll, please. Thank you very much. This week's Woody goes to our own local team, the LifeLock Mercury. Wow. We all wondered how long it would be until the United States succumbed to the trend of allowing companies rather than cities to sponsor sports teams. The answer is that the time is here, and the first offender is right here in Arizona. No, the Whiffer is not sponsoring the Diamondbacks, although they are trying to get Mark Reynolds as a spokesman. Chris Young is going to Cialis since nobody can pop up like him. The Coyotes passed on Phillips and Associates, even though they do bankruptcies for a little or no money down. No, the first team to cave in is our own WNBA team, formerly the Phoenix Mercury, now the LifeLock Mercury. Yes, LifeLock is swiping the team's Phoenix identity and apparently won a bidding war with Old Spice to get our team. Great. LifeLock leads the leagues in steals and picks. Disclaimer here, I am co-counsel in a class action suing LifeLock for being, according to the lawsuit, a huge ripoff. So you can imagine this is doubly troubling for me. How long will it be before we see other sports follow? Randy Johnson on the mound for the Depends Giants. Kurt Warner, starting quarterback for the Hour of Power Cardinals. That's not a towel behind center, it's a prayer cloth. And the minor leagues, they need money, don't even ask. The video professor Roadrunners. The step-in bathtub Bay Bears. No, we don't want this. Most bad ideas start in California, but this one started in Arizona. Thank you, Richie Rich, for striking again. Take the Suns from first to worst in one short year and now sell out to LifeLock. You couldn't have at least found a solid all-American company like General Motors? This week's Woody goes to the LifeLock Mercury.
LifeLock, that's a Todd Davis. I put up my Social Security number.
My Social Security number is 589.
We are in federal court as we speak.
Is that his actual Social Security number?
Yeah.
Yeah, then he got his identity stolen. Yes. That's no joke.
Whatever.
You know what?
The problem is what they do, that according to the lawsuit, is nothing. Basically, they tell you what you have to do yourself. And
and what do they charge you for that?
Quite a bit, you know. So
now let me ask you this: on the jerseys the girls are going to wear, are there just going to be like one or two numbers, or all nine of their Social Security numbers? That would be awesome.
Oh, when the ref's doing this,
foul on 473-66-5757.
He's going to look like Helen Keller out there doing the numbers. Come on, that's not good.
That would be beautiful. Oh, well, that'd be great advertising.
Yeah.
Oh, three-digit number
this
dash.
Is bullshit. You know it's going to just take off, too. I mean, once somebody does it, it's. I don't think baseball will do it. But
all right, I've had this take for a while. It's all about money.
You're right. It's all about money.
Really?
So why don't the players, you know, you can't afford these salaries. Are just the small markets, the Milwaukees and the Kansas cities. I think, and tats are so big right now.
Right.
Why not get sponsors tatted on the players?
You could do that.
So you've got
In golf, they have it on their shirts, but you could have it on your arm.
Just a big, you know, a Budweiser.
Well, one problem is in the NBA, they can't do it because there's no room left.
Oh, my God. Shit. Honestly,
the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, wait a minute. John Roush and
the Nuggets.
And
Ryan Roberts.
Roberts. They each have half a neck left. You could put something there. Because it's only on one side. You don't like the neck tattoo?
The Nuggets.
I don't like tattoos.
The only one I've really liked.
I'm just going to go on a limb here and say, I don't like
really?
The only one I ever thought was.
Don't you have one?
No.
The only one I thought was tastefully done and very, very subtle was Tyson's half of his face.
That was nice.
That was smooth.
That was nice, yeah. No, that's not good. But I don't know if we mentioned this, but I think I forgot to mention it last week. There was an article in the New York Times or Journal or somewhere. I thought this was just really cool. Growing up, for me anyway, and if you grew up in the 60s or the 70s, tattoos were looked down upon, right? And so all these guys from World War II or Korean War, they come back with tattoos, and they all kind of felt bad about it because it they were looked down on. And mm-hmm. so, you know, they'd have their shirts, you know, covering the tattoo and everything. The amazing thing has happened is these guys are now in their 70s and 80s, and tattoos are really popular. And they did a lot of really cool art in those days. So the article is these old guys are having teenagers come up to them all the time going, wow, that is fantastic.
Hey,
that's
Gramps.
Cool. So think about that. They go through 30, 40 years yeah. of their life in shame,
hiding it,
and now they're like putting the tank tops on, you know, walking around.
I wonder if any of them are going in to get them re-inked.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like, well, they showed some
the
pictures.
The problem is they were here, now they're down here. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, I used to have a tattoo on my ass, and now
yeah,
it's on my
yeah.
ankle.
No, but some of them are, they showed some pictures of them, and they're you know, they're like old school. They look like cartoons and stuff, and they're neat.
Well, and the thing I can't figure out what people like about tattoos, and I don't have any if you want one, great, that you know, it's your thing, but it may look cool today.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and it's just like if you're wearing your shirt today, you really yeah. like that shirt. It's yeah. a cool shirt. Do you want to be wearing that same shirt for the next day, you know, for the next 40 years, every
well,
single day?
Well, I did buy this in 78.
Well, but, bad you know, example. It's like, or,
this
you know.
From Pomeroy's and Mesa.
You know, Carrie, you want the same hairstyle for the next 40 years?
She has
no.
it.
Actually, okay.
Yeah, well,
I'm pretty sure I'm going to have the same one.
Well, that's true, Mark. That's a bad example. We'll tattoo Rogaine on your head.
No, here's the problem. The problem is... you're right, because I think about, okay, if I would have gotten one when I was 18, what little saying would I have put on there?
Yeah.
That's boss.
Yeah.
You know, whatever I would have put, groovy?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Groovy, man. I mean, no, I don't want anything that I was saying or thinking when I was 18
on this thing. It's just so permanent.
Thing.
I mean, I can
yeah.
see
it's
having,
permanent.
I can see
I like
getting married or having a kid or something, but a tattoo's so permanent.
Well, in a classic one of that, what you would put on, I've read the story before, Tony Danza, remember, who's the boss and
oh,
tax and all
he
that.
Is he good. Has one. That guy is good.
Star.
I love that
yeah.
guy.
Favorites.
He's got a tattoo that reads, keep on trucking.
Oh.
Perfect, exactly.
That's,
yeah.
So 1970s.
10-4, good buddy.
Well,
Kilroy was here.
Yeah.
But the one
well, that Kilroy, that was dumb. And remember for a while there in the 70s, for about 4 or 5 years, everything was like super big around like CB radios,
oh,
10-4,
yeah.
good buddy,
breaker, breaker.
Watch your handle, mm-hmm. breaker, breaker. We got us a convoy. And if you said any of those things now, you go, what an ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was all smoky yeah. in the back. We used to drive from, because I went to school in L.A., so we would obviously drive L.A., Phoenix. And we had, you know, you'd get one of these for your car, you know, just mainly to screw around. And my handle, you had to have a handle. So I talked to these truckers, you know, and I'm sure you're shocked to hear this.
What was your handle?
I'm an inveterate.
Asshole.
Yeah, I'm an inveterate. You know, this is the stage before prank calling on the radio or whatever, is I would prank call truckers.
Get your chops.
And my handle was Meatloaf. I don't know why. But I'm telling you, for 4 years, it cracked us up to hear some grizzly trucker going, breaker, breaker, there's a Meatloaf out there. it worked, just to hear him say Meatloaf. And we would just tell him all sorts, there's five Smokies, right outside of Blythe. Watch it there, watch it there. And you could see him coming, and they'd hit their brakes and stuff.
Thanks, Meatloaf. Oh, you won.
Hey, Meatloaf, thanks, buddy.
Do truckers still use CB radios? Do they still? I have no idea.
I don't know, do they?
I would think
it was a nice little culture, though.
Massive,
you know what they,
you know, it's everybody hears you.
Looks like we got us a convoy.
You know what
a convoy.
Was big
remember
for?
That movie? Convoy, Ally McGraw.
You know what truckers use the CBs for a lot was hooking up hose at the truck stops.
I didn't know that.
Hose.
A lot of truck stop hose.
Is that why they say don't let your meatloaf?
Yes. You started that whole thing.
I did. I wondered what that was.
You're a trendsetter.
I couldn't figure out what they were talking about.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it was fun, though, because we had our own little world there. And it wasn't like one trucker you talked to. They'd all be getting it. And, of course, I would be provocative, you know, and just say something like, hey there, good buddy. I don't know if you agree with me, but you know that Johnny Cash. He's is he gay? What the fuck is wrong with that guy? 50 guys would be banging on you. You know,
Meatloaf. Out.
Meatloaf. Meatloaf. Hey, Meatloaf.
Somehow I can just see you driving down the road with your CB radio with an 8-track playing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Are you kidding me?
It's like, hey, I hear they have these high-tech things, cassettes coming someday.
Yes. Well, I had 8-tracks. I mean, who didn't? 8-tracks are bogus, though, because they'd put, like, the song you liked. And then you'd have, like, two or three
tracks.
Bad ones. You know? And or even worse, if yours is, like, the third one. You can't get in there. You have to get through the
or
crap.
If it was cut where it would like
it would change go. Tracks.
Oh, right in the middle of the song. Yeah. What is that?
Yeah,
that was
yeah right in the middle of Feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that killed me. That killed me. I, you know, I was
does anybody even play Feelings anymore? Morris Elbert was
yeah,
the artist.
No, I don't think so. Oh. I don't think so.
Right, so. We had the oldies station on the other day, I think, out by the pool, and
94.5 Cool
yeah,
FM.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Okay.
But a song came on, and I told my wife, you know how everybody says you were stuck on an island and you could only listen to one
artist or song
yeah.
or whatever?
Oh, I would be.
Islands in the Sun?
Well, no. I said, this is a song that if somebody said, name 10 songs you never have yeah. to hear again the rest of your
oh,
life.
Oh, there's a lot of those.
They're all
what
on Google.
What was it?
It was, I'll think of it here. Oh, there was just like so many where I go, you know what, I think I've heard that enough.
I'll give you number one in my book. The worst song from those days for me was, it was written by Rod McEwen.
Wow.
Terry Jacks, Seasons in the Sun.
Oh, we had joy, we had fun.
We had Seasons in the Sun.
That was about a suicide, right?
Yeah, but here's the next line was the worst of all time. But the stars we could reach were just starfish on the beach. Like, what?
Wasn't that
Rod, come here. Let me punch you in the fucking nose.
Starfish on the beach. That's
hello,
like a
something,
nude beach.
It's time to die. Isn't that how that goes? That uplifting
yeah.
tune?
It was
yeah,
horrible.
It's a great one.
How about Billy, Don't Be a Hero?
Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods.
Yeah, that's not
wow.
good. How about...
I was a disc jockey for a while, so...
You were?
Yeah. Well, that was the first job in broadcasting.
What about Brandy?
You're a fine girl.
Oh. This, now, that was remade well by Tom Green. I thought
yeah.
he did a nice
oh
job.
Oh, God. Brandy's bad.
Now, you know, that one, though, has...
I hate all those.
That has an interesting...
Don't even
sure
do it.
No,
don't even know. Next.
It forced a major next. Hit to change its name.
Oh, Mandy?
Mandy.
Mandy.
Another Mantle. Song I never wanted.
You came and you left.
Gave no, without
gave,
taking.
Gave
he originally
oh,
wrote
came
that
and you gave without taking.
Yeah, he originally wrote that as Brandy.
Oh,
but
really?
It sent you and, away.
But because
oh,
that song was on, he had to change it to Mandy.
Have you ever had that happen?
You kissed me and stopped me from shaking.
Only now
wow.
you know the rest of the stuff.
That was my first concert.
I know.
You saw Barry Manilow?
Barely Man Enough, I did.
Wow. Yeah, I heard some tales about that guy. That's one of those guys. You're a performer. When he comes on stage, at least in the old days, most of his career, everyone in the hallway, anyone around, was instructed, do not look at him. If you look at him, he will
turn into
he
dust.
Will turn and leave.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You have must look away. There's several of those performers
oh, yeah.
out there.
Yeah, and you saw one in Los Angeles, I know.
Who did I see? Streisand?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Tell a Met story. That was classic.
Diana Ross is another one.
All right. This is, 8 years ago, 2000. We're over at the Los
you
Angeles.
We did a lot of traveling together.
We did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, we were at the...
We covered the convention.
Yeah, the Democratic Convention. And the thing was, we were staying in Santa Monica and the things at Staples Center downtown. And because of security and stuff, we all had to take this bus. It took like an hour to get there and stuff. And there was one afternoon, we're riding over, and it was only like five or six of us on the bus because we left early. It was you, me, Janet Napolitano. At that time, it was the Attorney General. Steve Owens was on there and so on and so forth. So anyway, we're having just a nice conversation, friendly thing, yada, yada, yada. And Grant, I think you were looking definitely. For like a pass for your buddy to come to the convention that night, to get him in for a few minutes to
yes,
see what it was.
Yes.
And he asked Steve Owens, who was good friends
McGovern.
With... McGovern. Tom McGovern.
Tom McGovern, yeah.
And Steve Owens, who was good friends with Al Gore, was able mm-hmm. to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
You get off the bus,
mm-hmm.
and Steve gets off the bus. Steve goes, okay, now, is there anything else you need tonight? And you just said, well, you know, I really wanted to see that Streisand concert.
Yeah, they're
tonight.
Having like a private Streisand concert
right.
afterwards. Well, remember, you know, I was a Republican Attorney General. I'm, you know, and all it's all Dems everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So I just said that because, yeah, why not?
And Steve goes, what, you really want to go? I got an extra ticket, dude. So he gives you the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we haven't told you is the night before on the show, after Hillary Clinton got done with her
oops.
Speech in favor of Bill, you came on and your exact quote, I think, was something like, well, that was a bunch of crap.
Right. Now, they didn't like that.
No, well, all the Democrats, this
they
was pretexting.
Us.
They were all calling up, though,
yeah.
saying, you can't believe what Grant just said. So the next night.
It was a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Well, her whole speech, she got on there, oh, Bill, he's the greatest, and we have such a great relationship. Like, oh, my
oh,
God.
Wow.
Give it a rest.
Will? Anyway, so you go to the concert, and you're wearing a Hillary pin that night to make it up.
I told him I would wear it if I could get in to see Streisand.
Now you're just mocking them at this
yes,
point.
Yes, I was.
And you have like row 13 in front of the orchestra.
Right.
I mean,
it
some of
them,
yeah, you know, it's like you got to pay like $250 million.
All these guys behind yeah. me are like governors and all this stuff, and some of them I knew. And finally, one of them called me out, and he goes, hey, Woods. And I turned around, and he goes, what the hell are you doing up there? You got a better seat than me. I'm the governor. I said, well, I don't know.
Yeah, so
just
anyway.
Worked out the way. It was a great concert, though.
But tell them what happened when Barbara came out to sing her first song. That was classic.
Oh, what did she do? She was pissed about something.
Yeah, she came on, I think it was On a Clear Day, On a Clear Day You Can See Forever. And
right.
She's starting to sing, and all of a sudden she goes, I told you, no profile shots.
Oh, that is what she did. No profile shots because of the nose.
She's hideous.
Who'd she say that to?
To whoever, the camera guy stopped right in the act, you know. Yeah, it's on a clear, I told you. No, come on. Yeah, that wasn't good.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird. She seems so stable until I heard that story.
You know what? I saw her, I think Streisand's great, but so I saw her at the Pond in Anaheim. This is her comeback concert. So I spent all this money, whenever this was, like, you know, 8 years ago or something, six, seven years ago. Not her comeback, her final concert. It's going to be her final concert. Well, my wife grew up in Brooklyn, Streisand, the Brooklyn thing and all this. She always idolized Barbara Streisand, and A Star Is Born was like her favorite movie. And so, you know, and this is it. This is her last one, you know. So I had to, you know, fork out all this money for tickets. So I get them. And we go, and, you know, whatever. It's at this, you know, at the Pond. But if you hadn't heard that story, she rolls in there for the rehearsal the night before. The Pond is like America West Arena, you mm-hmm. know, U.S. Airways. And no, this won't do. The acoustics aren't right. It's too noisy. It must all be carpeted.
Perfect.
And they're like, huh? What?
What do you call Empire?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, they come to you.
Yeah, they come to you the next day.
Yes. And they did. They carpeted the whole thing. Is that unbelievable?
She is a perfectionist.
She is a perfectionist.
That's one word for it. Right. Yeah.
But she does have talent. I think we'd all agree with that.
Oh, well, she's one of the great singers of all time, I think. Yeah, but...
Mark doesn't think she has talent.
No. No, I just think she's a pain in the ass.
Oh, big time.
But you know what? Here's one of the greatest... I wonder if I should name who it is.
Yeah.
Probably.
He's gone now.
Okay. Who?
John Denver?
No.
Abe Lincoln?
Luther Vandross.
Oh, Luther. Oh. Luther Vandross.
Played years ago at Celebrity Theater.
Yes.
And my friend at the time, who's not there anymore, he pulled me aside and he goes, man, you got to read this. So I look at the contract, the writer.
Oh, yeah. I love these.
They had to go to Home Depot and get 18 brand new toilet seats and change the toilet seat every hour on the hour for an 18-hour window where Luther or anybody in his dressing room.
Whoa.
And he was the only one to use that room.
That's just to make sure that they read it.
Like germaphobe thing.
No. He'd seen his own ass.
Yeah.
<That's fine. laughs>
I know where this ass has been.
Change it.
Wow.
And he was in there a total of like 2 hours. So they just they had a janitor, the maintenance guy there. Every hour you put a new toilet seat.
Unbelievable.
Then he go in and take it out, put it back in the box.
Yeah.
And they took 17 of them back to Home Depot.
Yeah, great. That's where you went.
That's disgusting.
You can get those at Last Chance.
That was before eBay.
Yeah.
That would have been a great eBay item.
What about
it?
A great, yeah.
Oh, Luther Vandross sat here. Well, that sounds crazy, but remember when Luis Gonzalez spit out his gum and it was on eBay?
Oh, my God, yeah.
What'd that go for?
A lot of money. I don't remember what it was, but it was like $300 or something.
It's the same thing with these people that see Jesus and a piece of toast and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
That they put
it,
you know,
I saw him in some peanut butter or something the other day. I mean, I didn't, but
I
someone
saw him
did.
On the road on the
No, someone saw him, and it did look just like Jesus in there. So I understand why they start freaking out about it. Hey, before we wrap it up here,
we haven't talked about anything.
Oh, we missed all the big issues.
Not just GM.
GM, ask him. Obama's went to Broadway. Anyone care?
You know what? I'm so tired of people giving them shit about
that. Oh, I'm glad they went.
I think
agree.
They ought to go, and I think they ought to fly any way they want. They ought to see a great show.
Exactly.
I heard one guy, and he was a Democrat, say that $24,000 for a date wasn't that much. Elliot Spitzer.
No.
Said he spent way more than that and can't remember her name.
Thank you, Client 9.
You know what? Here's the thing. Yeah, I'm glad we did mention that. Yeah, this really pisses me off that they're giving him shit about that. Here's the deal. And they do it. It's a periodic deal. They'll do it to governors here in Arizona or any place else. If you want a story once a year, crank out, oh, look at all the money the governor wasted on the plane. And the governor went here and the governor went there. I remember Rose Mofford. She went to Nordstrom's before we had one in San Diego and all that. Here's the deal. He's the president of the United States. Wherever he goes, it costs money. It's going to cost a lot of money because we don't want him to be harmed in any way. And so it's nice that he doesn't just sit there watching old John Wayne movies like, you know, some presidents. Let's get out and about and help the economy and be a real guy and get over it. I mean,
he went and did something cultural, for God's sake, and took his wife out to lunch,
yeah.
out to dinner.
He didn't go see Mamma Mia, though, like McCain would have.
That show about slavery.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever. Go see whatever you want.
Well, you know, I'm not a black guy. I guess if I was a black guy, I'd be like Woody Allen going to see every Holocaust movie, you know, like, oh,
you're a black guy.
We need another one.
The NBA.
I would be. That's true. Exactly. But, you know, so I get that. I mean, I try to see all the Mesa movies, but not that many. Big Love.
Wow.
When Big Love's on hiatus, I can't. There's nothing else to watch. Here,
all the Mesa movies. That's a weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's some good stuff out of there. Now, I had another little subject for you. What the hell was it? Oh, yeah, The Tonight Show. And we have to do it because Steve's here. And Steve knows. How can you not like Leno? Leno seems to be a really good guy. And, you know, once a year he'll make you laugh, and that's good. And he's all right.
Once in a while.
And, you know, so I'm a Letterman guy. And beyond that, I think Conan is great. So having said that, you know, I mean, you got to hand it to Leno. I mean, he did it.
17 years.
17 years. He had the ratings. He won throughout. Obviously, he appeals across the board to people. And what I saw of his finale there, it seemed pretty classy. It seemed like a nice job. Of course, he's not really leaving. He's
taking a month off.
And yeah.
That's kind of the weird thing. But yeah, no, I've always been a big Jay Leno fan. I like his humor. It's simple, you know, and that works in that time slot. You're getting ready to go to bed. You don't want to be thinking about stuff. And I like David Letterman, too. But, you know, Jay is just a
very... Did you ever watch Nightline?
For the same reasons.
Yeah. Larry King's on kind of late.
Is Nightline even still on anymore? They've been trying to cancel it.
Different
hosts.
It sucks.
But no, it's like, Jay through the years, I've liked everything from the Fruitcake Lady to Jaywalking to the Dancing Itos.
No, I hate it all.
And Entertainment Weekly did a
Dancing
thing like...
Dancing Itos was hilarious, wasn't it? That send up of a double murder. That was hilarious.
He never made fun of the murders. He made fun of the antics
Judge,
in the courtroom.
Yes.
And I'm sure you did jokes about the courtroom antics.
No,
too.
No. I just thought I never saw much fodder in that.
But some funny stuff, seriously.
Yeah, but Dancing is. But you know, Entertainment Weekly did like his top 15 moments over the. And you realize how much of a part of history that's been, you know, from Schwarzenegger announcing and bypass meeting Obama.
But what about his finale? Did you like his finale there? He had all the kids out that had.
Yeah, I thought that was nice.
I thought that was a neat idea.
I thought that was.
That was unexpected.
You know, as he kind of shows, it seems like there is this family feel to the show.
Do you think he will make it when he's on at 9 o'clock every night here, or do you think that's going
to
bomb?
To be determined, but I think knowing his track record for working, I think it will.
I can't see him winning any nights. I could see him being solid, and he's cheap, comparatively.
Well, he's cheap, but where he thinks he's going to win nights and build an audience is when the networks are in reruns.
Yeah,
are you going to watch the same CSI
There's
twice?
No.
Probably not. Are you going to turn to somebody who's doing fresh topical humor and what the president did or what Congress did?
I don't think anybody watches TV when it airs anymore. I don't think it matters
TiVo's
when
everything.
It's on. Everybody TiVo's everything, and I just don't think it's going to be very compelling.
I know one thing. I would not bet against Leno because
that's true.
19 years ago, if you would have said, who's going to get the Tonight Show?
Yeah, Letterman.
The good money was on Letterman.
You're right.
But he outworks everybody. You know, he still has every penny he's ever made from the Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
And he says... Because his mom beat it into his head that, you know, save it for a rainy day.
Right.
He's got a gazillion dollars.
Yeah.
He's a hardest working guy. He's a super nice guy. I just don't find him. He used to be hilarious when he would go on Letterman as the angry. Well, let me tell you what's bothering me this week, Dave. You know, and it was always the, you know, big business. Mm-hmm. And then he became big business.
Yeah.
And his jokes were all watered down.
He's lowest
denominator.
He always reminded me of this generation's Bob Hope.
Yeah.
Not funny.
What part of the chicken do the McNuggets come from?
Harmless.
He did a little tribute to Rodney Dangerfield on the finale, and he had some old tape of Rodney on the show, and that was the funniest
part.
Was
Rodney great?
Oh my God.
Rodney's the greatest.
Oh, I tell you. Because he said so many things I modeled after Rodney, and here's Rodney, and he had like 8 clips.
Oh, I wish I would have seen
oh
that.
Oh, my God,
look at that.
Yeah,
you remember Rodney, every time Rodney Dangerfield was on The Tonight Show with Johnny or whomever, always funny.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Always friggin' funny. That guy just absolutely killed.
Well, Jay has actually been doing a tribute to Rodney for quite a while in the monologue because he does these economy jokes.
Yeah, and the economy's so bad.
The economy's so bad.
But then he threw Rodney up there and you realized he wasn't even, I mean, it was like. No.
You know, Rodney, just watching him.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it wasn't even the joke. It was.
The mannerisms.
The mannerisms. And he's just so weird, you know. Yeah.
No, Rodney was great.
Did you ever read about or hear about Henny Youngman's funeral? I think I told you I almost went to Mo Howard's funeral. I don't know if I told you that. But
no, but
yeah.
How did you miss that?
Well, I screwed up. I should have gone because I was ready to go. And then, you know, like some girls started talking to me. I was in college and I thought, I'm going to go because it was open. And I was at Forest Lawn over in L.A. I said, well, I got to go because, you know, I mean, someone's got to, you know, poke him in the eyes or do something, you know, even though he's laying there. But just to be there. What else I have to do? But apparently I had something else.
Some girl started talking.
I was easily distracted those days. But anyway, Henny Youngman's funeral, just reading about it, apparently it was just packed with all the old school comedians, you know. And the rabbi or whatever gets up there and starts doing his, you know, Henny's, he was a great man and, you know, he's very kind to everyone and he's very charitable. And he got about 45 seconds into it, and one of these old bastards from the audience goes, he was an asshole! And the rest of the time, they creamed the guy from the audience.
Wow.
Yeah. So apparently that's how they are. They're like, hey, we're not gonna sit here.
It's like a Friars Club.
Yeah,
funeral.
Exactly. They said, bullshit.
Can you just? I guess you can just show up at some. You know, there've been some great.
Oh yes,
funeral.
You can.
Sure.
There've been some great funeral
jokes. I almost
went
to Ray Charles. I was over in L.A. that day too.
Wow.
And I thought I'm going to Ray's. And
that would have been something.
Yeah. Instead, I went to his garage sale and got this shirt.
What do they say about
Ray Charles?
Billy Martin's funeral when they put him in the ground, then somebody went up and kicked dirt on top of it.
That's good.
Like he used to do, that'd be awesome.
Yes, it would be great.
But no, I thought Jay got a good send off.
Well, we'll see how he does. Conan, and this week Conan debuts.
Conan, and I watch him tonight too.
I love Conan. Now, do you like Conan? Because I love Conan. I think he's really funny.
I haven't really warmed.
But Jimmy Fallon, people seem to like him. I don't like him. I don't think he's funny at all. Yeah. Who's the British guy or Irish guy or whatever?
Craig Ferguson.
I hate that guy. Cannot watch that guy. But Conan O'Brien, I think, is
he has
absolutely
great.
Great.
He has the edgiest writing staff.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got that younger audience.
Yeah.
He's writing toward them.
Yeah, he's great.
And I think Conan, you know, Conan can't tell. I mean, he's not a joke teller.
Right.
That's
his
why he doesn't
funny,
really
though.
Do it. But it's funny.
Funny, yeah.
They showed a preview of his show, and it was he made himself up to be Stuart Small or something, and he's just a critic, and he's hosting a focus group, and he's got three senior citizens at the table, and he says, now we're going to watch some tape of Conan O'Brien, and they click, and he goes on, and these old people are like this. And, you know, Conan's yanking on his nipple, he's doing all this stuff, and these people are like, what the hell?
Well, that's...
That could be funny.
Yeah. I think it'll be really funny. I don't know if it'll make it or not, because, his humor is... It's more Letterman-like, and people are used to Letterman now.
I think it took people a while to get used to it.
It did, for sure.
The one thing, though, that I think we would all agree on is The Tonight Show has been part of American culture for as long as any of us can remember. You know, we all grew up with Johnny.
Right.
You know, Jay's been there for 17 years. Conan, you know, hopefully will have a good long run there, too. But The Tonight Show is just, it's part of Americana.
Yeah, but every time we watched Leno, we'd say, God, he's not Johnny Carson.
Yeah, that's a problem. It's hard to replace a legend.
Remember when Johnny was 90 minutes?
Yeah.
That was the best.
Johnny, I mean, even as a kid, Johnny was the best.
My parents used to let me watch. If there was going to be a comedian on, I didn't even know, you know, Lord knows how weird that is.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was going to turn into a guy making 10 grand a year doing this.
It's the American dream. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Follow your dreams, kids. I'm living the dream. Somebody's dream. But I used to be able to watch that and mm-hmm. you know, and it was the first hour was not the he'd always have the comedian on.
Right.
Last,
and I used to remember seeing Bob Newhart and Jackie Vernon. Remember Jackie Vernon showing
Jackie
the video?
Green.
Showing the video. Mm-hmm. Funny stuff.
They're really good stuff. My favorite on there on old Johnny's was when Albert Brooks would come on. Because he was so odd. And Johnny would just absolutely die. And when you saw Johnny laughing, there's nothing like that.
Don Rickles appearance.
God, you're right. If you knew Rickles was coming on.
From
I watched Casino last night. Seeing his bags under my eyes. Here's something don't do. don't pop on. I had a DVR. And at 10 o'clock, I said, I'll just watch a couple minutes because it's so great, you know, Casino. and it's 3 hours. And it was so great. I kept watching. I've seen it 10 times. 1 friggin' o'clock.
Let's make that a weekly segment of the show. Here's something don't do.
Yeah, don't start casino at 10. Also, you know, people's heads blown off and, and all this. And then, let's nod right off.
Right.
Yeah, it's great dreams that night, you know.
But here is something you should do. If you don't have them or have never seen them, get the Carson DVDs.
Yeah.
The highlights from the show. You'll sit there and it's just one after another. The potato chip
great
lady
stuff.
Is one of the great moments in TV history. Or when he confronts Rickles on the set of CPO Sharky.
CPO Sharky.
Ed Ames throwing the hatchet.
I
never Karnak got tired of that.
No. You know where it's going to hit. Every time it hits him in the crotch. Funny every time.
Just to watch him. Yeah, that's great stuff. Well, we'll review next week. How Conan did.
Okay.
And we'll check on everything. Oh, one last thing I want to predictions. I am guaranteeing a victory by Mind That Bird. Is that his name?
At Belmont? On
yes.
The center?
Guaranteeing victory.
Hey, one other thing.
That's
because
what the Cavs did.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah, we got to talk. Who's your pick in the finals?
I'm going to pick an upset. Orlando to upset the Lakers.
I hope you're right.
I'm picking Dwight Howard's shoulders.
Oh, yeah. You like those?
Wow. Are you kidding
me?
Nice,
yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So who picks?
Orlando.
Orlando?
I want Orlando.
Okay, you're picking Orlando?
Go with your heart.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with the Detroit Red Wings with yet another Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I'll take the Red Wings. And
they're up 2-0. They should win, yeah.
I will, too, because I don't care.
And French Open, I'm going to take Federer.
Wow.
I think Nadal's going to get upset.
Roddick got beat today, too.
Did he?
Roddick got beat.
I didn't know that. Oh, bummer.
Andy Roddick.
Yeah,
I like adventure and erotic movies.
Now we're quoting Mark. That's good. That's good stuff.
It's June. I'm already starting to do analysis for fantasy football. Forget these phony sports. Let's get ready for fall.
Oh, my God. Give it a rest for a while. Can we have a little bit of rest on football? Anyway, okay.
And D-backs, we like them better than we did 2 weeks ago,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yes, a lot of issues, though. And I still say Matt Holliday is the answer, and I'm positive they won't go get him, but they could go get him.
I don't know. Steven Drew struck out 4 times on bobblehead day. On his own bobblehead day, he K's 4 times.
You know
times.
Why? Because his head was bouncing around.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, you got to keep the head straight. No, there's, I don't know. No, D-backs. We don't have time to go into them. Not good. So we're picking, anyone else want to pick Mind That Bird?
I got to see what the rest of the field, if Rachel Alexander runs.
She's out. She's out.
She's out. Yeah.
He, she.
How many horses are in the field?
I don't know.
Belmont is a longer than the Preakness.
And he likes that. You know how he closes?
How many fillies?
He closes like crazy. No fillies. Yeah. No fillies.
All right, I'll go with Mind That Bird.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think that's a good bet, Mind That Bird. We're picking the Red Wings. We're picking Orlando. Diamondbacks, Dodgers, whatever. We don't know. And that's it. Okay. French Open. Federer, anyone want to take anyone? How about the women? I'm going to take Serena.
Again.
Right, Serena Matt. And an upset.
I'll take a Williams sister.
Well, one of them's out, so Venus is
there's
out.
Only one left.
There's only one left, that's right. No one knows. Can't pronounce the other ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so go with Serena.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, we'll check in next week. Is that a show?
That's a show.
That's a show, all right.